This is Susan V. Brock Telluride, Inside and Out. I'm speaking with George and Beth Gage of Gage and Gage Productions. They are filmmakers, documentary filmmakers, and their latest film, Bitter 70, tells the story of Tim DeChristopher. There is a screening on Earth Day in Telluride, Colorado, at the Palm Theater. It begins at 6 o'clock. It includes a panel of experts on the field of climate change and concludes with a Skyped conversation with Tim DeChristopher. Guys, thanks so much for joining me.
It's our pleasure.
To be with you.
So all of us, the three of us, go way too far back. Sometime in the mid-90s, we did our very first interview, and it was on the subject of Fire on the Mountain, one of your first major documentaries.
Yes.
And that, too, was about change makers, in this case, the men of the 10th Mountain Division, all of whom went on to do big things after the war. Other films followed, all of them cause-based, all of them wonderful. Why the decision to make documentaries versus making feature films? Documentaries are notoriously labors of love. They are hard to finance and very hard often to realize a return on your investment. So what's your response, documentaries versus features?
You know, Susan, feature films are even harder. And I would say that to do it ourselves, if it were a feature film, we'd have to start, or I'd have to start as the writer, by writing a script. With a documentary, I can let current events or history be the story repository. So we just start negotiating with the subjects of our film, and then we start filming. The hard part that you refer to is raising the money and then paying back the money if we either have to pay back either investors or if we take out our, you know, money out of our own bank account, that sort of thing. That is very difficult. But we're really committed to these stories, as you say, of change makers and people who are so passionate about a cause that they are willing to usually spend the better part of their lives in service to it. So, you know, it is a labor of love, and we always cross our fingers that the money will come through in the end. And we're just committed to telling these stories and believe and trust that the stories will eventually win over the audience and we will be able to make back our investments in the end.
And your gamble has paid off, certainly, at Mountain Film and Telluride, where a number of your films have premiered. The audience falls in love. So gratitude to you for that.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about what Tim DeChristopher specifically. Beth, you met him first.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to tell his story?
Well, you know, when I first read about Tim, I was really struck by the sort of ingenious act that he perpetrated at this Bureau of Land Management auction, that no property was destroyed, no one was harmed, and yet he stopped this auction that everybody was sort of up in arms and protesting about. And so that was the first interest. Then once we met Tim and spent some time with him and listened to his first speech that he made to thank his Unitarian church congregation for sort of supporting this action that he had taken, it was so clear that he was intelligent, moral, ethical, and also a pretty natural-born speaker and leader. And it was kind of a glaring light to say, this is a young man that's got something to say and has a very promising future, and it's worth trying to tell a story. So, you know, we always start with that promise, and so far we've been lucky enough that in following these stories, they do turn out the way that we hope they will.
Wonderful. Thank you for that answer. George, what were your greatest challenges in making Bitter 70?
I think one of the greatest challenges is logistics. In other words, we don't live in Salt Lake City, as everyone knows. We live in Telluride, Colorado. And sometimes you don't have any warning when something's going to happen. So when something happens, you have to get in the car or get an airplane and try and get there as quickly as you can. And sometimes because of the 6.5-hour drive, and by the time you're done with the plane ride, whatever, and getting a car and everything else, it's usually at least a 4-hour delay if you're ready to drop everything. At one point, Beth and I thought about renting a little apartment in Salt Lake, but we didn't do that. So it became a constant challenge every time something would happen. How quickly could we get there, and how long could we stay? But I think that being said, I think there's nothing really, really major on this particular film that we did miss.
Yeah,
I know from having seen it that that is true. It was magical.
Uh-huh.
So in what ways did you see your star, Tim DeChristopher, change over the years? The project did take years, and I'm sure he had an evolution. Could you talk about that?
Well, he did. I mean, he didn't know himself how great he'd be at this, how good he'd be at public speaking, how good he'd be at an activist leader. As he quotes in the movie, sometimes you have to jump off the cliff first and gain your wings on the way down. And I think that's what Tim did. The other thing is that once he knew that he probably was going to have to go to prison, he started really lifting weights and really gaining weight, but all muscle. I mean, he must have gained 35 pounds during the making of the picture. In fact, the last scene of the movie, or the next to last scene, which is my very favorite scene because it's just Tim and I alone in his apartment, he really is having trouble getting his top button of his shirt buttoned because he's gained so much weight. But the great news is it's all muscle, and it prepared him for whatever he may have to fend off in prison.
Amazing story.
Yeah.
So what happened then on the ground in Utah as a result of Tim's brave act of civil disobedience?
Well, you know, one of the things about making a documentary is that you never really know, well, a documentary that you are following as it's happening. It's not a historical documentary. So this, you know, you never know what's going to happen, and that is an issue in these kinds of films. But what did happen, of course, we were very disappointed when Tim was first indicted. We were more disappointed when he was convicted and sentenced to prison. But the good news that has happened while Tim was sitting in prison is that the 10th Circuit Court in Denver, Colorado, has fended off all attempts by the energy corporations to reinstate those 77 leases that were auctioned off that day, or were supposed to be auctioned off that day, December 19, 2008. And so they have saved the 77 leases that would have been auctioned off that day, and that's 150,000 acres of pristine land in Utah surrounding our national parks. So, and that only happened because the auction was interrupted. A law case would not, I believe, have taken back the parcels from the lessees once they had taken possession of those land parcels. And so that's a really wonderful thing that's happened as a result of Tim's action. Unfortunately, he's paying for it with 2 years in prison.
And then what? So my last question for you is, what are Tim's plans for his future once he gets out of jail, which is very, very soon now?
As 2 weeks ago, or even less, Tim was accepted on a full scholarship to Harvard Divinity School. So that's what's next for Tim. I think it's just wonderful. I think it will be a great platform for him to continue to speak out, and a great spiritual platform.
Very likely one of the first convicted felons on probation attending Harvard Divinity School, don't you think?
I certainly do, and I think that's a wrap. This has been Susan B. Brock. Honored to be speaking with George and Beth Gage. The film is Bitter 70. It's Tim DeChristopher's amazing, moving story. And another screening takes place, this time outside of Mountain Film and Telluride, at the Palm Theater to coincide with Earth Day on April 22nd. Guys, thanks so much for joining me.
Great.
Thank you. It was fun.
Great. Thanks.
Yes, it was.
With you.
Okay.